say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never witnessed a UFO battle over 16th century Germany. 16th century Sweden, on the other hand, well, that's a story for another day. This is Hysteria 51.
I'd be hard-pressed to name a country I haven't witnessed a UFO battle over. But you know, I'm, like, cultured. Unlike you two ingrates.
Yeah.
I'd use so many words to describe him, and cultured would not be one. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, my name is John Goforth, and alongside to uncover the truth behind this ancient alien sighting is the one, the only Mr. Brent Hand.
Thank God.
Thank God what? That I'm here? Normally it's producer Lisa saying that, but hey! You know, I'll take it, especially from him.
No, thank God you're the one and only. If there were more than one, I'd deactivate myself.
That's not nice. That's...
With a hydraulic press.
You get it. You feel the same way as I feel about you. I think it works that way. Now I'm kind of feeling bad for him.
And have the pieces put in a smelter.
And if you're not careful, we're going to go ahead and move forward with that plan. Now I'm fantasizing and getting... Anyway, I digress, John. We got a fun one tonight, an ancient Bavarian mystery, if you will.
We do. I really enjoyed reading about this one, but the UFO part, spoiler alert, we don't know what was seen over Nuremberg. We'll get to it in a second.
Don't say we when you make claims like that, dumbass.
I can't, if it's like truth is stranger than fiction, I couldn't write this robot to be such an idiot, but he is. Anyway. You know, the thing that when I was researching this, Brent, the thing that stood out to me was just kind of the lack of real like form or substance to what they actually saw, like other than crosses and circles and like
it's carved into wood, John. How much more do you need? Come on, man.
And don't you also kind of feel like, and I know we'll get to this, but that. It was actually carved into wood by a guy who didn't see it. He was taking first and secondhand accounts from other people.
Well, that's up for conjecture. He lived there, so he either saw it or he didn't see it. They don't know.
But
everything that we bring to you.
That's true. That is true.
This is right on line with it. So
this is par for the course. But the thing that I was thinking is like, okay, let's play along and assume there was an air battle going on here. All right. It doesn't necessarily have to be UFOs, right? There could be other things. My point is like at times it felt like a battle of like the Avengers versus some bad group broke out in the middle of 16th century Germany. Like, couldn't this have been like either time travelers or superheroes? I mean, while we're going down the road of the fantastic, it doesn't necessarily feel like just like UFOs.
Well, one side of it was UFOs. The other side was definitely the Knights Templar or something because they had crosses everywhere. You know, they were really into branding, whatever they were. They were on top of it. Before we get too in the weeds, we should probably take them on a little trip to Nuremberg, which I'm happy to say we've never had to go to Nuremberg for trials or stories or anything.
That's true. No, actually, I was hoping we could just spend the next hour talking about the Avengers.
Okay, I
dropped that in for that reason. So I'm looking forward to Black Widow. No, I'm kidding. All right, let's. You're right. We need to set the stage before we get too deep into our silliness. Let's call it silliness.
Well, it's an interesting topic, and we are talking Nuremberg, but not the Nazi trials for once. So we're leaving the Nazis out of Nuremberg.
Yeah, the only Nazis that are in this story are us saying that we're not talking about Nazis.
Right. You know, and we are going back to Nuremberg in the way off year of our Lord, 1561.
That summer sucked.
Shut up.
Can I know we're only like two bullet points into our story, but can I go off on a tangent for a second?
I don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but...
I don't mean to go off on a rant here. Am I the only one that growing up, and maybe I am the only one, maybe I'm just kind of an idiot. I tend to be pretty good with numbers, and I always, for the longest time, I just had a mental block on, okay, it's 1500 something, but it's the 16th century. Like, I'd be like, do I go up? Do I go down? It's 15. Is that the 14th? No, that's not right.
I think that's pretty common, right? You know, the 0 to 99 was the first century. So when you hit 100, you're already in number two. But it's when you start counting that way, yeah, people go, just go up.
Logically, it makes sense. But 10-year-old me couldn't figure out why the 1800s were the 19th century. We're in the 19th century.
10-year-old you also couldn't figure out why it felt funny when he watched Cinemax either. So I don't think we were firing on all cylinders back then, John.
I mean, that's a whole different proposition. Anyway, that
Mom, Nation, I have some swelling.
Here's what I want to know, Nation. If you had that or similar like brain freezes, just like no matter how many times you learn it, you forget it, like whether it's a word, post in Hysteria Nation. Let us know. I find that stuff interminably interesting.
Shit's that simple and everyone probably should know. And for some reason, you're just like, why is this always with
so,
me?
Why is this so hard for me?
Right. Right.
All right. But back to your story, Brent.
Yeah. Yeah. So April 14th, to be exact, and that way off 1561, April 4th. And it's not just a UFO sighting this week, kids. Oh, no. Oh, no. Strap in for a mass sighting. And some might call it a celestial event, if you will, because that's what it's known as.
When shit's older, we give it cooler names. That's basically what it boils down to.
Or, as John kind of alluded to, a possible celestial battle. See, I keep it. The stakes just keep getting up. How fucking badass does that sound, though? Yeah, there was a celestial battle in 1561, or just some random sun dogs and normal sky shit, and people didn't know what to make of it. I mean, that doesn't sound as badass. So I think we want to go with the other one.
That is true. It is true. But you know, you make a really good point. I wouldn't even have made the allusion to the Avengers if it wasn't already something that sounded like epic.
Right. Well, it even looks like there's a giant like Thanos' ship on the bottom of the carving that we're talking about this week. Seriously, though, you know, like I just said, it was either a space battle. It could have been sundogs and just normal sky stuff. This is one of those dates that if I had a time machine, I would probably go back just to see for the hell of it what was really going on. Just I'm in the back like, hey, no, keep about your business. I'm just watching. Well, this is called popcorn. You don't want it. It's gross. Don't worry about it. You'll get
you
there.
You know, if a time machine ever is invented and we can go backwards, which they say should be easier than going forwards, I feel like most of the events of history, I mean, like other than horrible calamities that obviously, you know, if you killed 100,000 people, it was on an epic scale, no matter what. But most of the events in history we'd get, and basically what I'm saying is I think that almost every story we learn about from the past is a fish story. It just got bigger and bigger every time it got retold.
Right. Well, if Kyle could find his chronovisor, we could go back and watch this right now.
We
could
actually go look. Kyle, come on, man.
From the comfort of our own room. Yeah, well, you know.
Kyle, where do you think it is?
Cheese muffins.
What are you talking about? Okay, I'm not asking about your cheese muffins. I'm asking where you think the chronovisor is.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think I dropped it in my last batch of cheese muffins.
Oh, that tracks. He probably baked it, too.
That would make, why would he use it to see all of life's most important events when you can destroy it?
Yeah. It tracks. It tracks for these robots.
Well, this week, at least we do have a description. And
yes,
from way back then, they have better, at least newspaper-ish than some of the other stories we have. They had it from what was called a broadsheet of the time.
I also read it referred to as a broadcast. I saw broadsheet and broadcast, which is interesting because, you know, obviously we think of the modern day parlance of broadcast, but it kind of makes sense. Like if you think about what would be the 16th century version of a broadcast.
Well, what it was like a newspaper way back then for those lucky enough to know how to read or be able to read or to be even to get it. They would make
one priest in town can read it for you.
Right. Well, they'd make like a carving and they'd ink it up and make, you know, impressions of it and send it out. And there'd be one guy that would do it. And he'd be the guy that was known to make broadsheets. Like you said, a broadcast from that era. The broadsheet writer this week, it was a guy by the name of Hans Glaser, and he printed it back in April of 1561, along with a woodcut engraving of the event. And if you go to the episode art, I'm going to use that.
It's great, by the way. It is like I sat and just looked at it for 10 minutes, just noticing all kinds of little nuances to it. It's one of those pictures. Have you seen those memes that at first glance look somewhat normal, and then the longer you stare at it, the weirder it gets?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a mouse running across. Oh, wait, the mouse is wearing a, you know, motorcycle jacket. Wait, what's going on? Like it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder as you stare at it. This is like one of those.
Well, and that's just the carving. Then it goes on to describe the mass sighting, and it says that around dawn on April 14th of 1561, residents of Nuremberg saw what they described as an aerial battle. Fucking tits, man. That's how they put it in there. And we'll get to the actual wording, but this was followed by the appearance of a large black triangular object and then a large crash outside of the city, meaning they're saying one of these things crashed. You know, normal sundog shit in aerial phenomenon.
It's the second time we've used that word. Let's quickly tell folks what a sundog is.
So a sundog, if you're not familiar with it, or a parhelion, or a parhelion, is a kind of a halo created by sunlight interacting with ice crystals in the atmosphere. That's what the dictionary tells us. It normally appears as two colored patches of light to the left and the right of the sun, or a complete circle, depending on where it's at in the sky. Lisa and I have actually seen them a couple times while on vacation in Jamaica, and they are pretty cool looking. And it is one of those things where everyone just kind of stops and stares at them and goes, huh.
Double rainbow. They are pretty cool. If you haven't seen one, Google it. You'll see an example. Or just like wake up from a deep sleep and go out to a bright sunny day and like stare up at the sun real quick.
Yeah, for like 16, 20 seconds every day. It's good for you.
And you see like those tracers and like almost like there's more than one sun. That's kind of what when you look at the picture, that's kind of what it reminds me of.
And they're also, when you look at them a lot, there will be other shapes sometimes.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Indentations and almost UFO looking things. I looked up pictures of sundogs, and I would encourage you guys to do that, to see all the crazy shit that you can see looking at them. But Hans and the old broadsheet did claim that witnesses observed hundreds of spheres and cylinders and other odd shapes and objects that moved erratically overhead, not just staying in one place like a sundog would. And the broadsheet described objects of various shapes, including crosses, as you were saying, John, globes, lunar crescents, a giant black sphere, and a tubular object from which several smaller round objects emerged and darted around the sky. He went on to compare those as like cannons or something like that.
People must have been shitting purple Twinkies and praying like crazy.
I have to agree with you there. They even threw that in the text. That's pretty much in fact, John, you want to give us a reading of the text and say exactly what it says. Now, this is translated to English, so this is as close as they have, but this is the actual text from the carving.
Yeah. But before I do, the description of the all I could think of when I look at this carving or the description of the balls inside of the tube, obviously there was a celestial version of the old school TV show American Gladiators taking place.
Remember that? Just shooting it. Come on, I got you, Blazer. Get him, Turbo.
What was that gun called? I don't.
Well, they had the obstacle course where you'd shoot them at them, and you could shoot.
Yeah,
one.
It was called Assault. Was the name of the game they were playing? I don't remember if they had a specific name for the gun, but yeah, they were running through the obstacle course trying to shoot back at the gladiator who had like a target above their head.
Yeah,
but the gladiator had like, it was basically a Nerf gun that shot tennis balls.
Tennis balls, if I remember. Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. Let me go ahead and read the actual description from Hans.
Not Hans Gruber, P.S. That's a different German.
That's true. That would make this a much different story as well. In the morning of April 14th, 1561, at daybreak between 4 and 5 a.m., dreadful apparition occurred on the sun. And then this was seen in Nuremberg in the city, before the gates and in the country, by many men and women. At first, there appeared in the middle of the sun two blood-red semicircular arcs, just like the moon at its last quarter. And in the sun, above and below on both sides, the color was blood. There stood a round ball of partly dull, partly black, ferrous color. Likewise, there stood on both sides, and as a torus about the sun, such blood-red ones and other balls in large number, about three in a line and four in a square, also some alone. In between these globes, there were visible a few blood-red crosses, between which there were blood-red strips, becoming thicker to the rear and in front malleable like the rods of reedgrass, which were intermingled among the two big rods, one on the right, the other on the left, and within the small and big rods, there were three or four more globes.
This reads like stereo instructions, and you can tell it was definitely translated.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this could be just being lost in translation.
Right.
These all started to fight among themselves so that the globes, which were first in the sun, flew out to the ones standing on both sides thereafter. The globes standing outside the sun and the small and the large rods flew into the sun. Besides, the globes flew back and forth among them and fought vehemently with each other for over an hour. And when the conflict in and out again of the sun was most intense, they became fatigued to such an extent that they all, as said above, fell from the sun down upon the earth as they all burned and then wasted away in the earth with immense smoke. After all this was something like a black spear, very long and thick sided. The shaft pointed to the east and pointed to the west. Whatever such signs mean, God alone knows. Although we have seen shortly one after another many kinds of signs of heaven, which are sent to us by the Almighty God to bring us to repentance, we are still unfortunately so ungrateful that we despise such high signs and miracles of God. Or we speak of them with ridicule and discard for the wind, in order that God may send us a frightening punishment on account of our ungratefulness. After all, the God-fearing will by no means discard these signs, but will take it to heart as a warning of their merciful Father in heaven, will mend their lives and faithfully beg God that he may avert his wrath, including the well-deserved punishment, on us, so that we may temporarily here and perpetually there live as his children. For it may God grant us his help. Amen. By Hans Glaser, letter painter of Nuremberg.
Repent! Repent! You know, no, like, it really...
It is so interesting. Like, I can't describe it. I literally lack the words to such an extent. All I can tell you are shapes and colors, like a three-year-old. But it was from God!
Well, I love it. It says, and then the battle, they crashed to ground. That's fucking crazy. That's a hell of a sundog.
That is a hell of a sundog.
Sky battle or misunderstood atmospheric shit? That's the question. And we're going to try to tackle that after the break. John probably needs a sip of water after that mouthful. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51.
I didn't know reading a paragraph could give me a headache.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's an interesting tale to say the least, and we don't know a lot about it because it comes at a time, well, we're at a time when we have the luxury of time and knowledge on our side. And that allows us to go back and look at events like this and use a rational mind to figure them out after we've had these things taught to us over time. Now this is looking at it as, you know, I'm not poo-pooing it right now. I'm just talking about how we look at things as a society. That means we don't just take people at their word, which is something that many object to, especially in this case. I think there is a happy medium in there, and we can try to figure that out along the way. So let's start by saying when this story got popular. It hasn't been, well, it's been around 1561, but it wasn't really the talk of the town or even the UFO community until 1958. Carl Jung published Flying Saucers, A Modern Myth of Things Seen in the Skies. And it's a book that very important for really analyzing the archetype meaning of what a UFO is. And for the Nuremberg event, he believed that the whole thing was most likely a natural phenomenon with religious and military interpretations overlaying it, which really was their bread and butter. You take something and then you spin it. And even, you know, looking at someone who was looking for UFOs, they looked at that, and it's not hard to believe that they would use something like this in that way. Here's a quote from him. If the UFOs were living organisms, one would think of a swarm of insects rising with the sun, not to fight one another, but to mate and celebrate the marriage of
UFO sex.
Not quite.
Not exactly. Before we move on, let's talk about a few other things that go along with this. We haven't spent a ton of time on the carving. We gave you the description. The carving has some interesting shit going on in it that could play into an ultimate reason or an ultimate explanation, or could also not. But a few things. One, there is I believe it's a cathedral. There's an old building that existed in, I don't know if it's still there, but in 1561, it certainly did, in Nuremberg. And it was one of the oldest buildings in Nuremberg. And I believe it's a cathedral, but whatever it was, it's missing from the carving. Like, it's purposely left out.
And you know someone that they did that, they're like, oh, snap. Oh shit. You know?
Yeah, I see what he did. So that's, that's neither here nor there. Like, it doesn't explain what happened. You know, there's certainly not the implication that it was destroyed and rebuilt or anything, but it's not there. And the other interesting thing, he mentions, crashing and burning outside of the town. Mm-hmm. In the drawing, there is smoke billowing up from what could be, what if you knew the area at the time was supposed to be this cathedral. Or I'm sorry, not cathedral, this church. So a different church, or different than the building I was just talking about a minute ago. And so basically it could be implying that it was burning. Only it burned down like when he was a kid, when Hans was a kid, and it had been rebuilt at this point. So none of that makes sense. Although what I thought when looking at that and really kind of zooming in, it kind of looks like it's not something on fire. It looks like he was trying to depict like anti-aircraft. It looks like some sort of cylindrical items on the ground that have smoke coming out of a very specific spout.
Many people said those were cannons shooting up.
Exactly. Could they be cannons shooting at whatever they thought?
Crashed that were shooting back up at the shit that was still in the sky.
Also possible. But it doesn't. I don't think it's as simplistic as he was depicting the fire from the crashed vehicles or the crashed whatever it was. And then also, you know, on the carving, the description makes more sense when he says it's coming out of the sun. Because when I just read coming out of the sun, I'm taking that very literally. Like he's implying that they could tell with their eyes that something was literally coming out of the corona of the sun. And no, that's not what he meant. What he meant was basically it was in front of the sun.
Yeah, it was in the sky. Yeah.
It was in the sky.
The sun was low in the sky at that time. And the shit was all, everything you're seeing, the sun was behind it. Obscuring it or whatever you want to call that.
The only thing I would note from the carving, and this certainly isn't evidence one way or the other, but it's, I found interesting, is there is nothing, and I repeat, nothing mechanical-like about any of the shapes that he depicts. They are just shapes. They are colored shapes. And if you look, there is a level of detail in the town that tell me that he had the artistic capability of giving the shapes more structure, more definition, more, you know, if they were machines, a window, if they were like, he chose not to do that. Like he chose not to, there's no place for, you know, fire to escape from like the back. If it had a, you know, a jet engine, I know that if it's extraterrestrial, it might not, but no matter what, there would be some level of detail, and none of these things have that level of detail. And the city does have a very distinct level of detail. So I don't know what that means. I guess what I'd probably lean towards is, well, shapes in the sky that don't have detail tend to be more like the sun dogs we describe. They aren't detailed because they're literally reflections of light. That leads me down that path more than, say, some sort of inexplicable battle between two sides.
Well, speaking of battle, one of the things that is important in this is military and religious beliefs. Both of them are kind of depicted in this, and two camps have looked at this when it was saying a UFO battle. One, a military interpretation would view as, like you said, those tubes could be, you know, cannons and spheres as cannonballs. That black sphere head at the bottom of the scene, you know, could be a spear or it could be a ship or whatever you want to. In Glazer's own testimony that the globe fought vehemently until exhausted, boom, you kind of got a battle. Religious people or religious views have looked at this and they emphasize the crosses. But not all the crosses, the regular crosses, some have balls on the end. But they're crosses, so that pretty much sums that up. Otto Billig, he's an author of Flying Saucers, Magic in the Skies, A Psychohistory. He tried to provide a historical context for it all, and he wrote about it. And he said that the Nuremberg was one of the most prestigious cities in the late Middle Ages, and it was a free imperial city known for its wealth and nobility. And it tried to maintain neutrality during the furious warring between the Catholics and the Protestants during the Reformation. But when the Protestant prince was rebuffed, when he insisted on financial tributes to fund his battles, the city was besieged and its trade cut off. Blah, 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 blah. Then on Good Friday, 1554, another siege happened, and one of the broadsheet publishers described mock sons that prognosticated God's will, wanted to confess with sinful ways. Many other times, things would happen and boom, these broadsheets would come up and they'd have these warring things in the sky. Another sky apparition followed in July of knights fighting over each other with fiery swords in the sky and warning of a coming day of judgment. Very similar apparitions of knights fighting in the skies were used during the 30-year war of 1618 to 1658 in broadsheets. what I'm getting at, I'm saying all this stuff, is this isn't crazy to see things in these broadsheets. This one became popular. They would use this as symbols for religion or military. And scholars have said that there were lots of these. They're just not popular. This one is, and it was a way to condition the people to think of like apocalyptic thought and God and things like that.
In essence, an ancient version of propaganda.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like if in the early 1940s, you were living in Japan, and a shooting star came across and was then printed in the local paper. It might be because, you know, the Imperial Emperor made a wise decision and that's why we have a shooting star.
Or that was a dragon.
Yeah. Acknowledging how wise the Emperor is.
What they're getting at with this was, you know, sadly for us playing along now, they use this type of flowery stuff and extreme visuals and written flair to church shit up. Pun intended. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a matter of influence, whether you're trying to convince people to follow your religion, you're trying to convince them to follow your political leanings. It's all just influence, right?
Right. Exactly. But what if that's not correct? What if that was just a true telling of events and we're just searching for answers because we can't comprehend that what they were saying was what they're saying? I don't know. We're going to talk about that though next after the break.
Maybe we should ask Seba. He says he was there. He's been everywhere.
You know, he does work so damn hard that he deserves his own break. You know, God forbid he lift a pincer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Seabot, what do you think happened?
What? I wasn't listening.
Okay, well, did you read the outline for today? You at least know what we're talking about.
Hell no. I don't read nonsense, you turds write.
It's like three pages of like nine bullet points.
Okay, all right. Are you drunk? Were you drinking the... No, just...
That's a dumb question, of course.
All right, Brent. Well, without Seabot's help, let's try to get to the bottom of this.
Well, thing. John, we already talked a little bit about sun dogs. Our parhelions is one of the things that people say this was. And I said, like, Lisa and I, we've seen them. It's very odd also, but definitely not aliens if you're looking at a sun dog. I would be surprised if they hadn't seen them then, but that doesn't mean anything. Another explanation that some grab onto that, John, I know you're probably going to be a fan of, ergot. Some blame this on an ergotism outbreak that through bad grain causing mass hallucinations. Now, I tend to believe that less because, you know, you're going to tell me that they all fucking had the same hallucination, but I don't know.
That's... generally speaking, where ergot could be an explanation, there's also some evidence of some people dying around that time or some, you know, they can also look at the geological record and see that there had been an unusual amount of rain at that time. You know, things were damp and ergot, by the way, ergot, is it rye?
Yeah, it's from grain that rots and gets a fungus on it.
It develops this. Yeah. And then people eat it, don't know they're eating it, and, you know, basically trip balls and then die.
A melting, man. Is that a fucking celestial battle?
I agree with you, though, Brent, that one seems a little less likely, right, given what we know. Now, there might be other stuff we don't know, but that one does seem a little less likely. You know, one of the things that we haven't talked about, too, that go along with this, we briefly mentioned earlier, it could be a recitation of stories from other people, or Hans could have seen it himself. There are a lot of historians that are smarter than me and have researched this more than I have that believe it to be first and secondhand accounts from other residents.
Right. They say regardless of what caused it, whether it was aliens or sun dogs or whatever, people were terrified at the time of these warnings from God as they looked at them. So there is that. And there, like I was just mentioning before, there were other examples of almost the same account in other cities in that time period. Literally.
Oh yeah. I mean, I made the joke in the intro about Sweden. 5 years later, there was a very similar event described over Sweden.
Exactly. And all taking place near the sun when it's low in the sky, which happens to also be the time when you get sun dogs. So that's why so many people grab onto that. And it doesn't have to be low in the sky to get sun dogs, but that's a lot of times when it happens more. And you can get a lot of, like we said, strange shapes and halos. We're not doing our due diligence if we don't bring the ancient aliens, Gaia, you know, enter your favorite person. The alien aspect to this, we got to do that.
Right.
So many ufologists throughout history have used this as a prime example of proof of extraterrestrial life. And that's simply done by taking this at face value, John, and saying, yeah, this is exactly what happened. Hundreds of people describe seeing an aerial battle right before their eyes is what we're led to believe. And if not for the evidence that we stated earlier of them using, you know, crazy descriptions to describe other known events as otherworldly, we might have to take it at face value. It's easy to get lost down that road, but we know this happened with other stuff. We can make, you know, can we make exceptions here? Should we look at this at face value, or should we do our due diligence to say this probably wasn't space aliens battling and crashing and shooting cannonballs?
The other kind of corner to consider is because so many people couldn't read and couldn't write, we're calling this a mass event, but we're taking the word of the writer that it was a mass event, meaning we don't, unlike think about the Phoenix Lights. There literally are scores and scores of reports of individuals saying what they saw that night.
Even flying celebrities,
that's right. You can verify that no matter what the Phoenix Lights were or weren't, it was experienced by lots of people. That's a truth, right? We don't know for certain that this was experienced by lots of people. We know we're told it was, but we don't have, because of the inability for most people to engage in written communication in the 16th century Germany, we have to take Hans's word for it. And so, you know, when we call it a mass sighting, that's conjecture. Whereas a mass sighting nowadays is not conjecture. At the bare minimum, no matter what the origin of it is, at the bare minimum, we know a lot of people experienced it. So this literally could be the inane ramblings of just a crazy theologian, you know, saying, I'm going to make all this shit up because I'm going to bring more people to God that way.
Right. And this is where it comes down to for me. This is my look on this. I can't in good faith pick something like this up and take someone for, take it at face value without doing the due diligence of looking at the other facts or clues to the mystery, I guess you could call it. I wish I could, but I don't think that that's right. And there's a lot of flowery language and symbolism used at this time by people. And I think that this is just a case of that. If there was a time where I could find, and there'll be other times we're going to talk about this, you know, over India and over, there's a lot of these type of things we're going to talk about. And maybe there's more evidence that it could be aliens. I don't think so, but I know someone who does. His name's Giorgio, and he's here. Giorgio, you said you think that this is actually an alien battle?
If you look at all the pieces, it's the only conclusion that you can draw.
There it is. You know, there it is.
Okay. All right. You know, listen, as far as where we land on it, I much more have an opinion about the writer himself versus the actual event. The actual event, I don't know. I am not so much the, you know, what have you referred to me as before, the denier or whatever. I'm not so much a denier that I'm like, oh, couldn't have been anything other than
Ronan the Accuser, John the Denier.
Be on my tombstone. I'm not saying that. It wasn't there. Don't have enough information. No clue. But what I do have is a writing from this guy. And the same guy that carved this thing wrote, two pages worth of crap. And half of it was basically saying, And most of you won't take this as the sign that it was from God, you heathens. So what does that tell me? The one thing I know for certain is that this man had an agenda.
No, one thing I know for certain is that's how we're ending our show from now on. Most of you won't take this as a sign from God, you heathens.
I've been Brett. I've been John. Most of you won't take this as a sign from God, you heathens.
C-Bot, get on that.
Make yourself useful. But seriously, like, that's the one thing we know is this dude had an agenda. And you know, maybe it was a UFO battle. Maybe it was a battle of angels. Maybe it was any number of, it was people from the future having a dogfight because they were mad that the other guy had put in the wrong coordinates. I don't fucking know. No clue. But I do know that our source of the information is perhaps not reliable.
I think we're with that. Occam's razor, path of least resistance, whatever you want to call it. If there is another way to describe it, that doesn't mean that it's the craziness, then you probably got to go down that road. But that doesn't mean it's not always crazy. You got to do your due diligence. But that's what we think. We want to know what you think. Where can they tell us, John?
Hysteria Nation. We mentioned it earlier. Go in there. Let us know if you can get the 14th century right and the 15th century right versus what the years were, or if I'm just an idiot, you'll probably tell me I'm an idiot either way. That's okay too. Just go to facebook.com and search Hysteria Nation. It's our discussion group where we talk about all of this and a whole lot more.
That is exactly right. And also go to facebook.com/hysteria51pod. There's a regular page. Patreon.com/hysteria51. You can find Up All Nights and Mad Blurry Hysterias and all sorts of shenanigans. You're going to love it. Lots of radio dramas. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And we got some to play.
Oh boy, I'm excited. John,
are you ready?
I couldn't be more ready if I tried.
Here we go with voicemail numero uno.
Hey, this is Ryan from outside of Metro Detroit. I want to make clear, not from Detroit. I'm originally from upstate New York, not from Midwest, Yahoo.
Shots fired.
Hey, you know, hey, great job with the show, guys. Thanks to you, I'm able to stay awake at night while feeding my newborn. Otherwise, I'd possibly fall asleep in my arms, and that's terrible. So, thanks. And just a thought. Has no one talked about how, you know, the whole QAnon thing sounds a lot like partial disclosure of the reptilians? Just thought. Great job, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, that's awesome. We have a purpose. Keeping people up by their feet and their babies. That's awesome.
I mean, you know, get in where you fit in. I'll take it. Shots fired at the Midwest. A few thoughts there. I think people in Detroit would fight back being classified as the Midwest. I don't know for certain. Eastern time zone. However,
the Motor City Madman is definitely going to be firing shots back, but that's a different story.
Yeah, I was listening to Smartless, great podcast. I think I've talked about it before. Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, Will Arnett. They were interviewing David Cross, and he said something that's so true, and it plays into that voicemail. He's like, you know, only people from New York start sentences with, well, I'm from New York, so blah, 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 blah. Nobody says, well, I'm from Chicago, so blah, blah. I'm from LA, or, you know, I'm from Miami. Only people from New York just always make
sure. Well, I'm from New York, so I wear socks when it's cold outside. What?
And I love New York. I spent a lot of time there for work, and I'm not talking shit, but you know, if you're from New York and you're talking shit about another area, just be careful. That's all we're saying.
You guys don't realize John probably spends, when the world isn't in COVID times, more time in New York than he spends in Chicago. So pump that hate. You've earned it. Tell him about LaGuardia, John. Tell them about LaGuardia.
Fucking LaGuardia. Don't get me started. And you know, here's the other thing. Delta, in their infinite wisdom, built this whole other built this whole other terminal. And it's beautiful and it's gorgeous and it's so un-LaGuardia-like. And it's like 16 fucking miles Delta, to get there.
We love to lie and it shows. No, fly, I think. I might have got that wrong.
I know. Though, I will say, definitely still my favorite airline that I do fly. Delta takes care of me. as opposed to some of the other airlines that I have flown on. But yeah, LaGuardia sucks. JFK is great, but it's too far away. No one's going to spend an extra 30 minutes in an Uber just to have a nicer gate, or at least I don't. Anyway, enough about New York. I love New York. My favorite's the pizza. I just think it's funny that New Yorkers always have to tell us they're from there.
Let's go to number two. We got more. Here we go.
Hey, Brent. Hey, John. Hey, Conspiracy Bud. So,
fuck you, Kyle.
There's an episode you guys did about a simulated reality, right? You guys were talking about how with the split experiment, when we observe the particle, it changes whether or not it's in wave or particle format, right?
Yeah.
This is a fun thought. You know how there's all that talk about, oh, there's alien life and all these secrets, and NASA slowly delving out the information? What if there's something out here? We don't even notice it. But the moment we notice, it changes. And that is what they're keeping under wraps. It's a fun idea to make all you guys...
Oh, that made my brain hurt.
Sit in the corner and cry some more. Have fun.
That made my brain hurt a little bit, because that's a really interesting... I've never thought about that. Like, what if
so
it's...
So is he saying, like they're flying all over... at all times, but the moment that one of us notices, it changes to where you can't see it anymore?
I think you could take that a lot of different ways, or maybe we're in the bubble and we don't know how to, maybe we're in the tank and we don't know how to look outside of the tank, but once we do, we can never not see it. You, I mean, you could go a lot of ways on that.
Well, essentially, isn't this kind of like a XL version, an extra large sized, a big gulp sized Schrodinger's cat thought experiment?
Well, kind of. I mean, there's, you know, watched particles behave differently. Schrodinger's cat, you know, is alive, is dead. They kind of go hand in hand. But I think we would have to be the experiment or the particles.
Yeah, we're the cat.
Right.
I don't know. Are we?
That's a fun one. I want to look some of that up a little bit and see if there's maybe people that have delved down that a little bit more. That's fun.
When it comes to simulation theory, when it comes to
Kevin, sorry,
yeah, we probably need to do another episode, and we probably need to go down some of these more esoteric paths. It was so much fun when we did it, and we still get more comments on those than we do in some of the, you know, a lot more recent episodes. We should probably revisit.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hit one more, and we'll call it voicemails for the week. One last one.
Hey guys, this is Alex Jones speaking. Big fan of the show. Yeah, really. you might be surprised, but I listen to you guys all the time. Anything that's got that doesn't have to sell to me, you better believe I listen to it. Anyways, I just wanted to give you guys a call out and give you guys an update. My everlasting battle against globalist, caught myself there. It's going well.
It really is, Alex Jones.
I've got a new podcast, and I just wanted to share it with you guys. It's InfoWars brand bottled water. Now, this is the good stuff, guys. I mean, it's gluten-free. It's maybe got a little bit of mercury in it, but, you know, that'll put some air in your chest. Brent, I just want to ask, what's it like being a polygamist? I know that you got your wife there, Lisa. You married Lisa, and you're married. You're still with your first love, Mrs. Right Hand. So, how does that work? So, love you guys, C-Bot. You're my brother from another mother, and I'll be listening. Alex Jones out.
I might be actually guilty of that polygamy. I'm not gonna lie to you.
So. At first, I was about to make a comment that, brother from another mother, yep, C-Bot and Alex Jones, but no, I think...
Fuck no. I hate that dude as much as the next guy. He still owes me $50 from Bohemian Grove.
Even he has standards. Low.
I mean, they're low, but if you're on the other side of C-Bot standards, you are on the other side of something, you got problems.
Now I want an Alex Jones David Childress rap battle.
Oh man, do they still do those epic rap battles?
They just released a new one, the first in like 5-6 months. Yeah,
I haven't listened, but
that was hilarious.
Yeah, we need our version of that for Alex Jones.
What's a little mercury in your water? You know, I mean, it keeps the frog straight, so he doesn't have to worry about it. Yeah, so that was on brand. I'm with it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad Alex listens to the show despite all of the shit that we have talked over the
years. He's a fan. And he thinks about me masturbating. That was my takeaway. That was my takeaway from the entire thing.
I was really hoping that the allusion to that was going to be enough that we wouldn't actually have to verbalize
it. No. But I'm happy to verbalize the masturbatory
we're good.
Accusations.
I think we can move on.
I'm not going to have a guy who hosts InfoWars make statements without me talking about masturbating.
Okay. Hey, C-Bot, where's that smelter we were talking about? I'm going to stick my head
in. All right. So those have been voicemails. We're bringing them all a lot back. We got a bunch of them to play for you guys. So we're going to be playing more for you. Those are our thoughts, as we said, on 1561 Nuremberg mass UFO sightings. That said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Most of you won't take this as a sign from God, you heathens.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand shine.